Uncle Laser here. America's built on fast cars, fast food, and even faster women. Photo Casino's built in America. You know what they're fast at? Fast cash prize redemption. You see, only Moto is U.S. owned and operated. Moto, it's American made. That's who we are, and that's who we care about. Play for free at Moto.us.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Jones Topsoil has been delivering topsoil, mulch, sand, and gravel. For greener lawns and brighter flower beds, call 1-800-TOPSOIL. Order online at JonesTopsoil.com.
Jones Topsoil brings it home to you.
Hello, welcome to another episode of Fungula. This is our first episode on the road. We've set up shop here in the venue where I'm performing tonight, and we have a very special guest on this episode, a champion fighter, Hall of Fame boxer, UFC champ. She is all around just a rad, dope chick that I am so excited that I got to meet her. Holly Holm is with us on this episode, sharing her gratitudes and her matitudes. We talk about her career in fighting. We talk about her life growing up. We share some parallels that we have with our lives together. It was such a fun conversation. She even taught me some moves afterwards. We talked about my moves, and then she corrected them for me. It was really good. But anyway, it was such a good episode. I'm so excited for you guys to hear it. But before you do that, don't forget, I am on tour, the Family Reunion Tour. Go to my website, angela.com, see when I'm coming to a city near you. Get your tickets immediately before they sell out. Also, if you want to call me, tell me what you're grateful for or what you're mad about. Give me your matitude or your gratitude. The phone number is Danielle.
747-300-5380.
Call us, tell us what you're mad about, what you're grateful for, and we might pick your message to play on a future episode. Don't forget to leave us a review on Apple Podcasts. Go leave us a comment. Follow us on YouTube. Follow us on Instagram, all the social medias, and tell all your friends about Fungula Podcast, and enjoy this episode with Holly Holm.
Oh, this is my friend Teresa.
Teresa.
Yes.
Hey, Teresa.
Hi.
She just retired, but...
From you were a police officer.
Sheriff.
Okay, yep. Sheriff. Ooh, okay,
sheriff. She's done it all. She did patrolling, night shifts, day shifts. She's done undercover narcotics. Am I supposed to say all this stuff?
Well, it doesn't matter anymore. Yeah, I mean, I was in...
Well, she's retired now.
I didn't do undercover, but I was in narcotics. Okay, I was in the criminal investigation.
And her undercover name was...
And then, and then she did, like, domestics. And then, like,
wow.
To, like, prevent...
I was in SVU for a really long time, so...
Pull up a chair. Pull up a chair immediately. You're on the next episode.
Yeah.
You're getting your own episode after this.
I was in for 5 years. Like, yeah. So.
Did she say SVU?
Yeah.
Yes.
As in Dun Dun?
Dun yeah. Dun. Yep. We used to, yeah.
You were the Dun Dun of Albuquerque?
Well, yes. Part of it, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
And then she did...
Then I was a sergeant. So.
Sergeant.
And then training.
And she trained new cadets. Is a cadet the right thing to say?
Yep.
Wow.
I don't know. She's literally done it all.
That's incredible. And you're so young. And you're already retired. Wow. Good on you.
And she kept working. Now she's teaching.
Yeah.
Teaching law.
Teaching over at a community college, their law enforcement academy. So
wow.
Just teaching over there now.
My sister wanted to go in law enforcement. She wanted to be a police officer. She's 4'11". She weighs like 105 pounds. It's the cutest little thing in the world. And she wanted to be a police officer. And she did... whatever, at the junior college, criminal justice, because she was going to be a police officer. But I think she went for like a semester and then stopped going to school. Yeah. Same thing. I went to junior college for like a semester and I was like, I don't like this.
To college for 1 year.
1 year? Junior college or like university?
A university, meaning I was enlisted for a year. I don't know how much I went
to
college. But I wasn't, I mean, you know.
How old were you when you started fighting?
So that's part of the thing. So I, at 16, just started doing, like, aerobics to keep in shape in between soccer seasons.
Okay, because soccer was your jam.
Yes. Gymnastics, swimming.
Hold your mic a little closer to you.
Gymnastics, yeah, yeah. Swimming, soccer was all my, that was my thing.
So you were an athlete. You were just, yeah. I liked sports, like all that.
Yeah.
Okay.
And, I mean, just anything that I was doing on the ditch banks with my brothers, that was also sports to me.
Because
it was always wild. But then in... high school, in between soccer seasons, I was like, I started doing a cardio kickboxing class, like the Taibo stuff, you know? And I started doing that, and they had sparring classes there. So I started watching that, like, after aerobics. And I was like, maybe I want to try that sometime. So I sparred a little.
Mm-hmm.
And then I told my coach, actually, I think I want to try this. I want to do one fight just to see what it's like. And then I was hooked.
Wow. Okay, let me tell you. I would go to the gym and take the classes, and every now and then they'd throw in like some, you know, kickboxing stuff. And I would think I was so tough. I was like, should I be a fighter? Oh my God. Like, I'm so good at these punches, but I never wanted anybody to hit me back. Like, the second I even get pushed a little bit, I'm like, oh, I don't like it anymore.
I think that you have enough spunk in you though. And then you kind of get used to it.
Mm.
You know, people start.
I should have followed through.
You should have. I think you got the spunk for it.
I do. I think I have spunk for it,
I do
too.
I feel it.
I would, when I would be in my, like, aerobics class and they would do, like, the fighting parts, I really thought, like, I was so good and I was so tough. And then I did a Krav Maga class for a summer. Okay. Loved it. And every time I would finish the, and it was downtown LA, which, you know, is pretty sketch. And, I mean, it has its nice areas, but overall,
so when
sketch.
You left, you're like, I'm tough, though? You felt fine being down there.
Girl, let me tell you, every time I left that class, I would be walking to the parking garage. I wish somebody would come try to fight me right now. Come attack me. I wish you would try to come attack me. I felt so, so tough every time I'd leave that class. But I loved it. Granted, they never hit me back, though. It was never like sparring. It was just like me hitting the little mannequin thing on the ground.
Hey, but you know what? It did give you a little confidence, right?
When you got your first hit, did it excite you and you want to hit back? Or were you like, oh,
okay, so in class, like sparring,
yeah,
I would get hit and it would just like piss me off. Like to the fact that I'm like, uh-uh, I better get them. It just turned into competitive like right away.
See?
It wasn't like, ow, that hurt. Also, maybe because of growing up with my brothers, our roughhousing was like rough enough.
Yeah.
But my first actual fight, I don't consider my first fight, even though it kind of was, but I had told my coach, hey, I would like to fight, but you let me know when you think I'm ready. Mm. He's like, all right. So a little bit later, he's like, hey, they got some fights. I think you should do it. I'm like, great. So the girl that
How old are you at this time?
18. Okay. I had just turned 18. Okay. So 16, I just started doing the aerobics. Yeah. 17, I started sparring. Uh-huh. 18, first fight.
Yeah.
And I had just the month I turned 18, I had my first fight. And my coach was driving us down there. And this girl that I was fighting, it was an exhibition fight. What that means is it doesn't go on your record. It might be for multiple reasons.
Okay.
Okay. Ours was because I had never fought before. Okay. And she had like between 15 and 20 amateur fights, but I outweighed her. So it's like she had the experience, I had the weight. Uh-huh. So it's not a sanctioned fight.
Okay, all right.
But it's an exhibition.
It's a little practice.
Fight.
It's a little, right. let's just try. Let's see.
So my coach is driving us down there in Clarence. That was the name of his red pickup that we would drive.
Adorable. Are you nervous at this time?
I was nervous for sure.
Did you get the diarrhea nervous?
Oh, for sure.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, the nerves that hit the gut all the time.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
People don't. Okay. I mean, I still get it every fight. And
really?
Over and over, for sure.
Oh, interesting.
For sure.
People ask me, like, if I get nervous before stage, I rarely do unless I'm saying something new. Like, if I wrote a new joke or if...
The unknown.
Yeah, it's
how
the unknown.
How are people going to take this?
That's what I'm saying. It's
that's how a fight is.
Yeah, okay.
The unknown. Yeah, you don't know what's going to happen. So how could you not be nervous? How is this going to be received?
Uh-huh. All right, so you're sitting in Clarence.
Like. Yeah, so we're sitting in Clarence and my coach is like, listen. They're going to tell you to go light. This is an exhibition fight. But that's not it. She's had experience, Holly. Don't just because you're bigger. No. So we get in there. You know, it's fight night. It's in this little 4th Street gym that's like small little place, right?
Yeah.
Small little ring. And he's like, we get in there. You know, you're doing the face off and the ref's in there. He's like, all right, this is an exhibition. Let's keep it light. Let's keep it clean. And I'm like, he said they'd say that. So then the fight starts and I just go all out, wham, like 2 combos and her team throws in the towel and they were like, no, this is an exhibition. And I was like, I'm sorry, Mr. Winklejohn. He's still my coach to this day. He goes, sorry about that. And then I come over and he starts taking my gloves off and he's like, good job, good job, good job. I think he just wanted to see if I like had the, you can teach skill, but you can't teach like heart.
Yep.
You know what I mean? And I think he just wanted to see if I had that. And then, so I don't really consider it my first fight, because it wasn't really a fight. I don't even know if she threw a punch. Like, it was just like, I just went out there and went like Tasmanian devil on her, and then it was over.
Okay, so it was maybe not your first fight, but it was your first opponent in a ring.
Yeah.
Like, it was your first opportunity to have at it, to see even yourself if you had it. Because at that point, you've sparred, and sure, you got, you know, in
sparring. But what happens when the pressure's on, and it's an actual...
Mm-hmm. So it was like a little test for you. Like, do I want this? Do I got it?
And I was addicted.
And as soon as you felt that, you were like, all right, like, give me a real one.
Yeah.
Ooh, how long was it until you had a real one after that?
Just like,
I know,
a month
we're going
two?
Back in the memories.
That's all right. No, I got them all. They're in there.
Okay, good.
But the very first real fight I had, this is when I learned that he's just going to tell me what I need to hear. But I like it because he's never led me astray by right? Yeah. The real fight I had, my first real fight, was against this girl, Sunshine Fettketter, and it was in Phoenix, Arizona.
Okay.
And he was telling me, she was big. She's a big girl.
She outweighed you?
We had to weigh in at the same weight for this, but I mean, she was like lean and tall and strong. And he's like, you know, I heard this girl knows how to pace herself, so I just want you to go hard just the whole time. And well, she had been the Arizona State champion. He didn't tell me that. He just said, I think she knows how to, you know, I heard she's tough or whatever. But I'm glad he didn't tell me that.
Because he didn't want you to get in your head.
Right. And it was a battle. And then, you know, like the 10 seconds left in a, you know that?
No.
Okay, tell me. 10 seconds left in a round. Okay. They like either clap some
or hit. Okay,
right,
yes.
10 seconds left. Uh-huh. Well, I'm like, I'd never been through a whole round. Like, and ours just... in practice just dings at the end of the round, right? So like, and I wasn't paying attention, but they clapped and I was like, oh, so I dropped my hands.
Oh,
and she's like body shot, and I literally fold all the way over and I get up.
And
I can't breathe, but I just throw like 10 kicks at her leg until the round's over. I sit down, I was like, I think she got my ribs. Nah, she just knocked the wind out of you. And then he just starts telling me what we need to do next, and I was like, okay.
Wow.
It was a battle. Wound up getting like a majority draw. One judge had it for me, two had it for her. But that's I'm so glad that was my first fight, because it was a battle, and it's like, I can do this. I love this. Like,
that's
a lot of the girls after that weren't even that tough, you know?
Oh, man. Do you think if the claps didn't throw you, would it have changed the course?
No.
No? It was what it was.
It is what, yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's not, the round was still a tough fight. The whole fight was like tough. Yeah. I mean, it hit my gut, but it didn't like, I still was like, got my breath back, came out the next round. And
does anybody in your family fight?
No.
It's just you? So was it, and again, we're going back into the memories. Was your family like all game for it in the beginning, or were they like, hey,
Okay, so my family is all competitive.
Okay.
And my dad came from like farming background. My mom came from Wyoming and like outdoorsy mountains. Like, we grew up down in Bosque Farms.
So they're,
on the
they're
ditch
tough.
Banks. Yeah, they're tough.
Yeah.
So they're tough individuals. And my brothers were tough, and they always had us in sports, all those things. But when I wanted to wrestle in high school, my mom was like, back then, women's wrestling wasn't a thing. Now they have women's leagues. They have women's. But I was going to be, like, the only one.
Mm-hmm.
And my dad's like, I don't know about that. My mom was like, I don't know if I really want you just wrestling with all the guys. I think if I would have told them, like, no, I really want to do this, I'm passionate about it, they would have been like, all right.
Yeah.
So that was that. But when I wanted to fight, they were like, well, you've always wanted to do something physical. It doesn't surprise me. My dad's like, my mom goes, well, at least you need to be 18 because I'm not going to like sign off on it.
Yeah.
I said, okay. So as soon as I turned 18, I had my first fight.
Good for you.
It was fun.
Good for you. And even to be like that young and go, I want to wrestle, like that is so interesting, because it's like the girl who tries out for the football team. You know how there's always – there's some teams where they got that one girl. Did you have that in your school? Where you grew up? Like,
No, but I know what you're talking about. But I didn't have any, like, but I feel like there were other schools that had, like, there was the local girl on the football team.
Yeah.
It was a kind of a, it was always a news story. It was always a thing. There's always somebody trying to do something like that.
And to me, I feel like there is, that's something different. Like, you have that wiring for, like, I'm tough, I'm competitive. Like, yeah, I could do it.
Even if you don't think you're going to, like, maybe, like, I would think it, we had a girl as one of the kickers on our football team in high school. And I don't think it's necessarily that she's like, I can, like, tackle these guys, but also, like, to be okay that, like, they might tackle me and I'll still be okay. I think there's, like, maybe a little bit of a different mindset.
See, that's,
but, like, to be okay with being, like, that physical, yeah.
That is wild to me because, again, okay, going back to high school, I did the, what was it, Powder Puff?
Oh, yes.
The Powder Puff football?
Do you have videos or pictures of that? I feel like you need to share that. We did Powder Puff too, but I could see you being spicy.
I wish I had pictures and videos that when I tell you how good I was. Girl, I was fast. I was quick. I was like, juke. I was like, don't even try me. I was so good. But even after that, I'm like, wait a minute. Should I try for the football team? But I don't ever want somebody to hit me back. Or but the I feel second like that's I have opposition.
I mean, that's just flag, yeah, right?
It is. But this, the second want... I get any kind of
competitive
like roughhousing, I'm like, oh, no, no. Yeah. Don't actually touch me back.
I want to do it and take
Maybe
it.
Maybe I should just spar or something.
I actually think I say taking the next step a little further. I think you should do a smoker fight.
Get out of here. What does that even mean?
That means like an amateur.
Get out of here. Show I hate up, it already.
Throw a fight.
I hate it already. Get out of here. I've like seen this on TV.
Like 3 1-minute rounds.
Insane.
And just go. I feel like you have the spice for it.
Okay. I'll tell you this. One, I'm never going to do that ever in my life. But there are times where, okay, girls, everybody in the room, do you ever, it's different for you because law enforcement and you probably have been attacked before. But. Do you ever like imagine yourself when you're walking to the parking lot at night or whatever, like, yeah, okay, if somebody comes at me, I'm going to do this. And right, you start
yeah
thinking out.
Yeah.
I worked off Hollywood Boulevard for a whole year of my life. So you know, I had a taser scenarios and I was ready. I was ready.
So anytime you're like in that situation and you're like, all right, if somebody comes at me, this is going to be my move. Okay. In my brain, for some reason, I always think I can drop kick somebody.
Okay.
I don't know how to dropkick nobody, but in my brain, I'm like, come at me.
The visualization you had on that.
It's full on, like, it's like a kick and a, it's like, not even, and it's not even, oh, you know what? And it's actually kind of like one of these, and it's like a cat, like that. Like, I have such control over this part of my leg.
I mean, you're got good balance and control right now. So.
And it's full on, like, and I have, like, the right angle, and I like, in my brain, I have so much control over my body.
Like, does it help you to say, yeah?
Oh, if this happens, I'm fully saying ka.
Okay.
I'm fully, if I'm ever defending myself somewhere, there will be sound effects. Uh-huh. There will be ka, there will be
hi-ya.
I don't know about hi-ya, because it's
that takes like, too much time.
It takes too much time. Uh-huh. It's more like a
one syllable sounds ka, over here.
Pow.
You've done the like the
if I ever to stab somebody, they're for sure getting sound effects along with their stabbing. It's gonna be,
but it's still a single syllable per
stab. It's gonna be cat cat cat.
Yeah, three stabs.
Oh, you don't just one stab,
right?
Who one stabs? Yeah. Get out of here, one stab.
That's what I did with the taser. It was a bzz, bzz,
bzz, bzz. Oh yeah.
Yeah,
get out of here, one stab. That's wild. Okay, all right. So you've had it in you. You're still fighting. Like, this is still your passion. It's still what you love.
Yes.
Right? It's still something that fuels you. Tell me about that.
I just keep thinking, like, oh, I'll just do it as long as I'm passionate about it. And it's definitely turned into, you know, my first amateur fights, I didn't know if I'd ever turn pro. And then my first pro fights, I didn't know if I'd ever fight for a belt. And then when I fought for a belt, I didn't know if I'd fight for multiple. And then through my whole boxing career, I didn't know if I'd really turn into MMA. But then when I started to like train it with my friends, this is really fun, I want to try this. And then I started MMA, and even when I started MMA, I had already boxed for 10 years, so it was like a lot of people were already telling me I should retire, and they're like, don't do that. And if I would have listened to that, I would have missed my entire MMA career. And gosh, what a journey that's been. So I definitely am not going to go like crazy amount longer, but I got a couple left in me.
Yeah. Good for you. Good for you. So on our podcast,
cute.
It's all the syllables threw me off. On our podcast, we do Matitudes and Gratitude.
Yep.
Okay. So in life right now, it doesn't have to be about fighting. It could be about anything in your life. What's your mattitude right now? Like, what's the thing that makes you mad, that gets on your nerves, that annoys you, pisses you off, whatever? What's your mattitude these days?
I got two things.
Oh, give them.
One, I hate when I see people be mean to animals. Drives me crazy.
Cannot handle. Tell me more.
Just even like a owner, or even if I see it on a video, or you see them at the park, or they're too rough with them. Or I'm not saying I see it all the time, but man.
Oh, yeah.
It gets under my skin.
Uh-huh.
I don't like it. Because there's something wrong with that. Mm-hmm. I see someone yell at another human, I'm like, oh, that human might have done something too. Sure. I don't know. You do it to a dog, it's kind of like, I don't know about that.
I don't like that either.
Yeah.
And I see what you're saying too about when the owner is aggressive.
Right. It's not just others. Like, yeah.
Like, there's, you can see videos of, like, people, and I hate it when you see, like, animal dumping videos where they just, like, abandon the dog. Oh, I can't even. A lot of times I scroll past, I'm like, I'm not going to, I can't do that. Yeah. But when you see aggressive owners, that's
hard. Why do they just don't have the animal?
And, I know.
Why?
And my dad, he was an aggressive owner. He was an aggressive dad, too. We'll talk about that later.
Okay.
But... And maybe that's where my spunk comes from.
I'm sorry, I'm laughing.
No, it's funny. We can laugh.
We can laugh. It's in my book. I talked about it. But yeah, my dad, he was an aggressive dog owner. Hated that. I can think of a couple other people that I know that are aggressive dog owners. And I'm like, I want to rescue your dog from you so badly. Mm. But that's, you know, not my business. Because they're not like abusive.
Yeah.
But they're just like...
Not loving.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, don't have a dog.
It's really hard for me to have an animal and not love it. That's why I guess I don't understand it.
Yeah. Or they keep their dog tied up outside.
Yep. Mm-hmm. I don't do that
what
either.
What is this? Yeah. Get out of here. Don't have a dog.
You know, I feel like if you're going to have an outdoor dog, that can happen. Because there's a lot of dogs that really love to be outside more than inside.
Yeah.
But they need to have a little igloo house. And they need to have room to roam and not be tied up.
Give them some warmth. That's right. Do you ever see the video... I've seen it come in my feed quite a few times, so maybe you've seen it. I don't know if we have similar feeds.
I'm sure there's but some.
There's this one video of these three farm dogs that protect the sheep from the coyotes. Mm-hmm. Love that. And it's like the video is to like heroic music in the background. And it's like all the sheep and the goats, they're all like sleeping.
They're
and
all
the dogs.
Peaceful.
Everybody's sleeping, the dogs are sleeping. And then it shows like right before the coyote howls, you see already the dog already like senses
like
something.
Ready.
And he's already, and as soon as it's, the three dogs get up. They go outside and they hit their stance, like their three-point stance guarding the farm. It was like an action movie to me. Yes. I was like, yes.
They're built for that. And that's what, and then some people will be like, oh, how do you let them do that? I'm like, well, those dogs really love that though.
Yes.
Yeah.
Just like border collies. They love to herd. They love to be running around. Let them work.
This is their jam.
Right. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So with that, I think that's another thing. It's like some people get upset when they're just letting a dog be a dog.
Yeah. No. That's the outdoor dog that I approve of. The tying up to a chain.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I don't like that type. Mm-hmm. What's your other attitude?
Say you're out somewhere and then somebody's like, oh, hey, and they do this because they want you to come talk to them.
Get out of your seat and you.
Right.
Uh-huh.
That just
tell me more.
Wait, what are they? You
when
know,
somebody
like,
goes like this.
Like, oh, hey, if they write like they want you to come talk to them.
And you're like, they're pointing for people just listening is what I'm trying to say.
Okay.
Because sometimes people just listen. They're, it's like when you
calling with the finger.
Calling with your finger, like you're bending your finger like, come here.
I just do that.
That is annoying.
I'm not going to lie. Like a while back, I was like getting a procedure. It was actually at the hospital in the waiting room to get called back.
Uh-huh.
It's like, oh, hey.
Mm-mm.
And I'm like.
Especially if you don't know
them. You
know
them. I'm a fighter, right?
And you know what? It's what they have to say or what is usually positive. So I'm not even going to say that it's a bad. It's just something that everybody has their own pet
peeves. The finger come here.
Because it usually means, I feel like it usually means something negative. Like whenever like a teacher would do it.
Oh, yeah.
I always felt like it was like.
A parent.
It was like.
A dog that's in trouble.
It's very parental.
Like.
It's very point.
Yeah.
That's, you know you're in trouble. Oh, if your mom ever gave you a point in the come here, forget it.
Yeah. Snapping point and then the come here.
You're out. You're not going anywhere for the next 2 weeks.
Yeah. You were talking about.
Oh, no. 2 weeks, you're staying home now. You're grounded.
Right.
If your mom ever gave you that one.
Right.
That is annoying. You know, this is where I thought you were going to go with that. So I'm going to add to your attitude.
Add to it.
When somebody, like, wants you to come talk to them and they're like, come here. And you're like, oh, no, you want to talk to me. Then you come here.
Yeah.
You want me to get up out
Sometimes
of my seat.
Sometimes I just
seat
stand
so I
there and
go?
Wait for them.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, hey, come here. No, you come here.
What do you stand what? Off? I stare down.
I thought you were gonna say when somebody whistles. Have you ever had that? That I guess means that if my dad whistled and been like, "Come here," like that was negative. So
that's when you're in trouble.
Yeah. So like,
when you're on the field, far away. Yeah. Your dad's a coach.
Oh, okay.
So if I hear like a whistle, I'm like,
what
like,
I do.
Like, my whole body Ruh-roh. Tenses. Like, yes, but I dropped whatever I'm holding. Like, I didn't, did you need that notebook?
He saw you doing something bad across the field what it was. He got that whistle.
Absolutely.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, they did it. He did it. Because it wasn't like a whistle you blow. Like, he can do the, I can't do it.
Oh, the two fingers in the mouth?
Yeah. Like the
I can't do that.
I can't do that either.
Oh, you can.
Oh,
I can't do that.
Yeah, you're episode two. You're getting on after.
The most I can do is.
Oh, yeah.
That's all I got.
I wish I could do the, that my dad can do the.
Yeah.
And he does it real loud, too.
That's exactly what mine sounds like.
And then the cholos, where I grew up, they would do this one where they pinch their lip.
Uh-huh. Like the chirp thing. The long chirp kind of whistle.
I can't do that one either.
Interesting.
I can't either.
All I got is a. I got a whisper. I got a whisper whistle. I have the LaCroix of whistles.
Yeah. Dumb. Okay.
Okay. Those are some good attitudes. Those ones got me thinking, actually. I didn't realize I was annoyed with that until you just said it.
It drives me crazy. Sometimes I go, uh-huh. And then they keep doing it. I'm like, uh-huh. Uh-huh. And then they eventually come over and it's like, yeah.
What's that? Say something? Man, what an incredible life you've had with your career, and you're still fighting and still going for your dream. I love it. And then you surround yourself with amazing women. And are all your friends tough?
Yes.
Oh, I love it.
They're all like strong, and meaning. One of them is a nurse for kids with cancer. Mm. She's been doing that. I don't know how she handles that.
I don't know.
She's around all the time, but then she's also like super mom, you know?
Yeah.
She's super funny. And one of my other friends has started her own business, like making meals and delivering them, like healthy meals. And everybody's like, that's going to be hard. You can't make a living with that. No, she just did it. And
crushing
she's
it.
Killing it.
Look at her.
And then one of my other friends, she's, every company she goes to is like, she's like up here, you know, every time.
Mm-hmm.
And she works hard. But so our whole group set, I have to say, has like been driven. Not that we're all in the same field, but we've all been driven.
Yeah.
And obviously it's probably why we've all been friends.
Like, yeah,
none of us
vibe,
are just sitting at home, you know.
That save energy. That's something to be grateful for. And I don't want to feed you your own gratefuls, but let's talk about it. Let's talk about what are you grateful for in your life. You have an amazing career, you have amazing friends, your family sounds awesome. Like, what are some of the things that you are grateful for in your life?
That I could go on for days, which I'm glad that my gratitudes are more than my attitudes, but
that's right.
Honestly, I think if I had to say, not a lot of people were raised like knowing Jesus, and I feel like that is such, I was raised with my parents teaching me about Jesus. Then, obviously, as an adult, you need to follow him on your own and all these things.
Sure.
But I'm thankful for that. And with that comes all the grateful things in life. But
so you grew up Christian.
Yes.
You're the preacher's daughter.
Yes.
And did you ever have your strayaway season? Or did you always just stay on the straight and narrow? My dad's a preacher. We grew up Christian. I'm a Christian. This
definitely
is my
have my own like brain. And I wanted to... always been a believer, so it was never a question of that. I did, you know, try a couple different churches, like, you know, things like that.
Mm-hmm.
But I never
Good
was, like, questioning my faith.
Good for you.
And with that, though, I think that just all the blessings are so, I mean, I could go on with gratitudes just from that. But
yeah,
I think that
totally.
Two of the things that I'm, like, super thankful for is just health and like happiness with the, you know, it's like with my family, with my friends, if I can just sit there and we're healthy and we can like laugh together, that to me is just more than anything money can buy. You know, when I'm with my friends and I'm having a good time, I'm like, life is really good.
Mm-hmm. Having that good time with, are you still close with your family, your siblings?
Yes. Yep. Both my brothers and I were all within 3.5 years. So we even went 1 year to high school together. My oldest brother was senior. Other brother was a junior. I was a freshman.
How fun.
And yeah.
Was it fun? Sounds fun.
It was really fun.
Okay.
And they were never the type that were like, I was the pesky little sister, like annoying.
You're
you
the
know?
Youngest of all of them?
Yes.
Oh my God. Okay. Yeah.
But they would take me to parties. They'd take me to the football games. They would take me everywhere, you know. It was like, this is my sister. They were like always proud.
Did they do the typical like protective brother if you started dating a boy and they were like,
no. You know, I'm super thin. They would, I could count on them for anything. And they definitely like, people knew they were my brothers, but they mm-hmm. weren't the type that were like overbearing that like they wouldn't like let me live my life
sure.
or,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I think one thing I do appreciate about my dad and both my brothers is they're proud of me and always been protective, but also like let me make decisions uh-huh. and handle my life rather than yeah. like overly trying to control it, you know.
Did you ever try to fight their girlfriends?
No, but there's definitely the ones that like I maybe approved or didn't approve of.
Uh-huh. You know. But you didn't reverse sister them and be like, "Hey, girl, let me talk to you for a second."
I think they all just are more intimidated to begin with anyway. I don't uh-huh. have to do much.
Yeah, yeah.
Give them a little wink.
That's right. You know? That's right. Have fun.
Yeah.
Were you guys going to the movies?
Yeah.
It's cute.
Cute. Just the stare down.
Is your dad still a preacher?
He is. It's a little church out in Edgewood. He was at a different church for 18 years and then resigned, did a couple other, you know, jobs and then went back to preaching. Started with just some families out of an airplane hangar and then they went to, like out of a, it's a small church out in mm-hmm. Edgewood, but the people are amazing. Very cool. Loving, welcoming, all that.
So your dad is your pastor? You go to his church?
Yes.
So cute.
I went to different churches in town for a while, like in Albuquerque. I would still go up there every now and then because uh-huh. it's a little bit of a drive. And Sunday is my day. Even when I'm in training, I don't really like to get up that early.
Yeah. That's what I was going to ask you. So you're from Albuquerque.
Yes.
Did you ever live anywhere else?
No.
No? Were you ever tempted to, when you started getting big, when your name was getting out there and like you're... Especially when you beat Rhonda and like everybody's knowing you and talking about you. Were you tempted to move to like one of the major player cities like LA, New York, or like go like do the big fame
LA is
thing?
A 2-hour flight. Like
for you.
They can just go hang out there. But here's the thing. Our gym here, people come from all over the world to train at our gym. Uh-huh. So I didn't have like a reason
to leave
or a need to leave.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I was very blessed that I just walked.
John Daly here. You know what day it is? Neither do I. I live life daily. That's why I only spin on Moto Casino. Moto's got daily free bonuses, daily tournaments, new slots added daily. And the best part? Guaranteed daily jackpots. You can't beat that. So today's the day you grip it and spin it with me on Moto. America's social casino. Play for free on Moto.us.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Download the Moto Casino app today. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino. Social Casino.
Jones Topsoil has been delivering topsoil, mulch, sand, and gravel. For greener lawns and brighter flower beds, call 1-800-TOPSOIL. Order online at jonestopsoil.com.
Jones Topsoil brings it home to you.
Then to this gym from the get-go. You know, some people will start smaller, have to find a better coach or,
yeah.
you know, move up. But I didn't have to do that.
You have your same coach from the beginning.
Same coach.
That's wild
Isn't
to
it?
Me.
Through boxing and MMA.
And from an aerobics class.
Yep. And he actually taught the class. So he fought professionally in kickboxing and boxing.
Uh-huh.
But he actually used to teach the class. We're talking, I mean, I'm going to blast him real quick.
Yeah,
but
let's
he
do
was,
it.
Okay. So he was in cutoff, which he still wears the
Give
cutoff.
Give it to me.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
And like biker shorts. And he did the aerobics class.
Yes, he did. Like, did he have a headband?
No, but okay. I mean, just short of that.
Uh-huh.
But I will say his stuff was like, he's intense. Like even like watching him to do like a karate, like a kata or anything like uh-huh. that. His is like, it's like intense and impressive. You know what I mean? So even when he was doing aerobics, it was like real punches, not just like
yeah.
halfway, kicking high and all that. So he actually taught classes.
Okay.
And that's what I would go to. But he for sure, I mean, he was like biker shorts and tank top.
Did he see you in the aerobics class and say, hey, do you want to do the boxing?
You know, I think he always has been the type that lets other people, if you want to train hard, he's there for it. But he's not going to be, there's a lot of trainers out there. They even have to like go pick up their student and drive them to the gym. Like, he's not going to do that. You need to,
if you can't
drive yourself here and want to be in training, I'm not going to waste my time.
Uh-huh.
And as soon as I said I want to, all right, then he's in on it. You know, he's, if you want to work hard, he's there to be that for you.
I wonder if he ever saw you in the aerobics class and was like, ooh, this girl got something. I want her to come do the boxing.
I'm going to ask him that now. Yeah. Be like, hey, before I ever sparred, did you be like, I hope she wants to spar someday?
Because that's how I feel about myself. Like, I feel like I was so good in that aerobics class that I wonder if my teacher was ever like, she should go be a professional fighter.
I'm telling you, you should fight.
I feel like she might have mentioned it at the time, were it true.
Oh.
So. Well,
okay, so here's another class that I did. I talked about this on another episode. There's sometimes I'm real good in the class where I'm just like, hey, kick, boom. And I'm so good. I'm like,
I like the, I feel like you like your side. You know, that's my favorite sidekick is that leg right there. I see it. All right.
We're vibing. Yeah. I'm telling you, when I say I can see myself in you, just kidding.
Please. If you ever want to do a smoker fight.
Oh, my God. I'll help you get there. No, but I do want you to teach me something before we leave.
Yeah.
Just teach me a little something. Keep in mind, I went to the gym this morning for the first time in probably like 6 months. So I'm off my game. But anyways, so there was sometimes I was in the class and I was crushing it. I was so good. And then there's sometimes where I was just not good at whatever the class was. But I still like to be in the front because I want to see what the teacher's doing. Like, I don't want to be like around looking around somebody trying to be, okay, what was the next move? You know what I mean? Because it's like choreography. It's not just kickboxing. It's like choreography.
Right. Dancing. There's combos. I got to see what the combo is so I can go.
So I try to be in the front so I could watch her. And there was this one class I was lagging behind. Like, I don't know. I was tired. I don't know what was happening, but I was just not getting it. And she says on her little microphone, she was like, if you are not, what was it? Like, if you are not, you know, if you want to be in the front, you need to be on top of it. Like, basically,
she called you out.
If you're not on top of it, you need to get in the back.
Yeah, it was like, if you're not able to keep up or something like that.
Yeah, it was like, you're not able to keep up. You're not able, it was like something in that vein. And she was talking to me without talking to me. Uh-huh. I was the only one in the front that was not keeping up. And I was like, oh, got it. Cool. I'll be back here.
See, my class, I didn't care who it was. If they were in front, I was pumped because that means they wanted to be there. I didn't care if they were off beat or anything
I was hoping for, a little bit of grace.
I'd rather the energy be
up front. I was excited to be there. Yeah.
And you know what? Let me ask you this. Anytime you've been doing it, were you looking at someone else, like judging their style? You just pay attention to yourself, right?
Yeah. Exactly. I was watching myself in the mirror.
Everybody is.
Because I was seeing how tough I was. And I was like, wait, is this my future?
Hold on. Yeah. I can see it. I can picture it. And I wasn't even there.
Where were you 20 years ago?
I feel like you still got the spice. That's what matters. Yeah. Anything else can be
taught. You have the heart.
I have the heart and the spice.
Yes. Yes.
You need the spice first.
That's why I just do it on stage. You know what I mean? Because nobody can hit me back on stage.
Which I could never do that. I got to tell you.
See, that's the thing. People tell me, oh, I can never do what you do.
I could never do that.
I can't do what you do.
I think that is one of the hardest things, to stand up there and be like, what I'm going to say is funny. That's a confidence that a lot of people can do.
Mm-hmm. Look at us. Look at us both just being confident in our own realms.
See, but I think that's great. I think it's great that you can't do what each other does.
That's how the world turns.
You're supposed to be doing what you do.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Tell me another thing you're grateful for. Your life and your friendships and your career and your anything.
I'm thankful for my career because being that I just got into it and it was something I loved that I kept going with it, I'm so thankful that I was actually able to make a career off something I was passionate about.
Yeah.
Not like a job I dreaded going to. Don't get me wrong. There's days I don't feel like going to train.
Of course.
Like a day like today, if I actually was like, today was a day that I would have to go, I'd have to go run in it. You know, mm-hmm. And it's like when other people are going through the drive through and getting a coffee mm-hmm. and enjoying their warm car outside of the wind.
Mm-hmm.
And
you, speaking
like,
of, you
there's
got
days
me one.
You
very
still
grateful.
Have to like make yourself have to go. It's still work, mm-hmm. you know, but to be able to have a whole career in boxing and then start brand new with a career in MMA and be able to actually fight at the top level with all of it. And uh-huh. I'm very thankful that I've been able to fight the top athletes. I'm very thankful that I wasn't what we call a paper champion. A paper champion meaning it looks good on paper.
Okay.
But you didn't fight all the best, you know.
Yeah.
I never wanted to be a paper champion, and I'm super thankful that through my career, when I was fighting in boxing, I was currently fighting the top five. Not like used to be top five,
uh-huh.
but currently. And same with MMA. I wanted to come in and fight the best. And there comes more risk with that, but I'm thankful for it.
That's
and
incredible.
Just to be like, I don't want to get to the end of my career and be like, man, I kind of dodged a few mm-hmm. or didn't challenge myself, mm-hmm. you know, because then those wins aren't that great anyway.
Yeah. So I've never heard that term, paper champion.
Paper champ.
That's what I feel like. I dated a few paper champions.
Hey, there's before you got that married. Could actually be like more than just like a fighting term.
You
look good on paper until you well, see what's really, then you look like, in depth, then there's a lot more to it.
Yeah, I was like, that's sure. a good term. Like, what if there's a paper comedian or a yeah. paper? I totally get that. Even in just like, I'm sure people who hire people in their office, it's like you get that resume and you're like, this resume was amazing.
Uh-huh. Yep.
And then you interview them and you're like, oh, who's this?
Yeah.
Oh,
and then
I'm sorry. It was this.
I read the wrong.
Was this Melissa?
Yeah. We had a mix up with the paperwork. Yeah, they're like, that's mine. Yeah. It's like, no, it's not.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
not you.
Yeah.
What? Yeah. You weren't no paper champion. Good on you mm-hmm. taking those challenges head on. Man. Again, I start thinking about like in my own situation. I'm sure there's plenty of times where I dodge challenges because I don't like people hitting me back. I don't like challenges. I don't like hard things. I don't. Let me tell you.
It's uncomfortable. I think that it's. Here's the thing. Here's what I think is also a difference. If you say like, I don't like getting hit back. Uh-huh. Somebody else might be like, oh, it didn't bother me, but it actually probably bothered them.
Uh-huh.
I also feel like that's what a fake person is.
Okay.
You know mm-hmm. what I mean?
Yep. That's like that paper champion like, talking.
Is, yeah.
Mm.
Like when this is me. Hey. There's been times I got hit. It didn't feel good. Yeah. And I do it for a living. There's yeah. times I, you know, and there's uncomfortable times. There's people in sparring. You know, that's going to be a little harder round than this one.
Yep.
Maybe I'll take this round right now.
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know,
mm-hmm.
there's that. So that's just being real with life. That's not the same.
I have a question for you.
Bring it.
So you have an incredible career. But did you think, like when you were younger, when you first started fighting, did you know that, or not did you know, did you visualize this? Like you're fighting all these top fighters. Did you ever think
no.
like, because I've done a lot of great things in my career, but I don't think
Huge.
About them like that. I think about, I'm just me. I have my husband, my daughter, my sister. My sister and I were just on FaceTime doing our makeup together. Like
yeah.
that's, I'm just Ange.
Yeah. Same.
You know what I mean? Like, that's
but because you feel like, because you are like that is why people relate. They want to see you because you're real. They want to, you know, they want to go watch you.
It's wild to think like you have fought the top of the top and you are the top of the top. And you're still just Hollywood with all your homegirls.
I never thought that when I was starting. Each fight, I like, it go, wow, this is going to be a tough one or, you know, and like, I almost get more nervous when I sign the contract than when I'm actually like closer to the fight. Cause when I sign the contract initially, it's like, oof, I know how much work is ahead of me.
Yeah.
And I'm saying by signing this contract, I believe I can beat this person, but they're that good. I mean,
yes.
I got to do everything right in order to beat this person.
Uh-huh.
And then you take on all this anxiety and all this pressure mm-hmm. and you do it knowingly.
Yes.
And then every fight, this never fails. I tell my coaches, why do I do this?
This is my last one.
Yep. That's it. Can't do this. And then it's over. You're like, you know,
mm-hmm.
but I will say there's the only time that it was like a visualization. That's like, I'm going to tell you a story. I can do it without crying. Now there's plenty of times I've done it crying, but so there was, yeah,
case.
I think I'm good. I've said it enough. Now I can just say it.
Okay.
So I never was like, oh, I want to, I'm going to be this person. I'm going to be this champion fighter. I'm going to have these belts. I never thought like that, but I'm going to tell you a story. So my dad and I were having a lunch. I won't get into why we were crying because that would be here. You'd miss your whole show.
Okay.
So we were crying. Both of us were at this very emotional dinner right down here off Rio Grande. The place isn't even there anymore. And my dad just looks at me and he says, I don't know what it is, Holly, but you're going to do something big in this life. It's just destiny and the whole world's going to know. And this is before I maybe had one amateur fight at this point, my little smoker, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
It may have been before that. I hadn't even started. And it just kind of hit me and I was like, I hope so. I want to do something big in this life. And then like, you know, my first, he was like, it's just destiny. So there's only maybe two other times he would say that, like I had a big fight that I was really nervous about, and he would say that's just destiny, you know. So when they called me, I only had two fights in the UFC, and they were like, you're fighting for the belt. So it's a very quick like jump. It was like on the fast track to fight for the belt. And we were supposed to fight in January, Rhonda and I, and everybody was like, that's kind of soon, you've only had two fights. I'm like, yeah, but I want to take it, you know. If I don't feel like I can do it now, when am I ever going to feel like I can do it, right? I need to believe I can do it in order to do it. Mm-hmm. So I took the fight, and then that was supposed to be like in the beginning of January, around like the New Year's Eve card. And then the card in Australia, the main event, had an injury, and they swapped it, so they moved us to November 15th. Mm. So it cut like a 12-week camp into 6 weeks. So it was very fast.
Sheesh.
And they're like, you don't have to say yes to that. And I'm like, yeah, but if I tell myself I won't be ready by then, uh-huh. then I'm telling myself I won't be ready.
Mm-hmm.
So, but I called my dad, and a couple of people I called, I was like, oh, my next fight's going to be Rhonda. And then they would go, oh, great. So are you excited? They like didn't want to sound like scared, mm-hmm. but they were like wondering where I stood. Yeah. You know?
Tell me how you feel so I can feel that too.
So then, yeah, I don't want to make it like I don't have confidence in you, but I'm a little worried.
Yeah.
And then I called my dad, and I was like, hey, I got the name of my next girl. And he goes, oh, tell me your name and I'll look her up. And I was like, I'm fighting Rhonda. And he goes, ah, destiny, baby. That's all he said. And that was it.
Dad.
And then I was like, that's all I needed to hear right now. Everybody else kind of like on the eggshells about it. He didn't even take a breath on it. So then this is the only time my dad's actually been. So my dad used to work my corner in boxing. Mm. He put the stool in and he took it out and he never overspoke. Never, you know, he was not one of those. Yeah. He literally was there to just make me feel good.
Uh-huh.
And in MMA, now I need my wrestling coaches and my jiu-jitsu coaches. So he's never worked my corner in an MMA fight. But the only time he's actually even been in the cage at all was when I got the belt. And there's a lot of pictures of my dad and I hugging in the cage. But all the cameras missed this, which sometimes I wish I have it, but I'm kind of glad it wasn't because it was just our moment.
Yeah.
I had never seen him in the cage at all. Like, I'd had, you know, fights before I got in the UFC, but he, like, walks, and as he's coming up through the steps into the cage, coming through the door, he just goes, destiny, baby. And I was like, yeah. And then we, like, hug. And it's like, so that, I never, like, was like, oh, I'm going to beat the best, and I'm going to be the title holder, and I'm going to, I didn't picture that, but that was kind of like a thing that was between my dad and I through my career that was mostly maybe his vision from that he believed in me, but it wasn't that I was like, I'm gonna do this, but it was really cool.
That is,
it's amazing,
so special. Mm-hmm. That is so special. I'm glad that wasn't caught, that was just for you, because it was just for you.
It was just between us the whole time, and it wasn't anything I ever even talked about before all that happened. It was just like always just between him and I from the get-go.
Does your dad know this about the destiny?
Uh-huh.
He knows that that's your guys's
thing.
I feel like, I mean, obviously your dad's a preacher and talks to the Lord and hears from God, but you're like, you know, maybe that's what my dad believes for me, but maybe it's not even just what your dad believes for you, but it's just what God told him.
Yeah.
Like,
and I feel like this too. I do think my dad is honestly like almost, I don't want to say to a fault, but my dad is like the most honest person. Like, I mean, you cannot be worried about being around other people. He will say something and it is going to be like, he's just going to say it.
I think I'm married to your dad.
Okay.
That is
that's good.
My husband.
But don't you love it? You don't have to guess where you're standing, what he's thinking, what, like, this is what it is. It's black and white. And my dad is like that. And I think that what his belief in me did for me is give me confidence. Same thing with my coaches. The fact that they believed in me, I was like, oh, they must see something that I can do. You know, if you're, if you're a coach is like a little worried for you, you're going to feel like worried, right? So I think having, I mean, my dad had that, but I've had confidence from a lot of people in my life that they pour this into me. My friends have always been like, yes, go do it. Mm-hmm. And that makes it easier to feel confident in yourself. Sure. Like, they have confidence. Absolutely. They have confidence in me for a reason.
Yeah.
Then I need to, it makes me feel more confident and it makes me feel stronger. And that doesn't mean that there haven't been times that people have doubted me and I had to like ignore that,
Sure.
And like reaching myself, yeah, no matter what people said. So, because there could be a lot of people out there that maybe aren't surrounded by good people and they still need to like dig deep. So I'm not saying the only way to make it is being surrounded by positive people,
sure,
but it's easier.
Okay. Here's a question. Do you ever have the imposter syndrome or the like, where you have the people who do believe in you and they're like, you got this, you could do this. But then you start thinking like they're lying or
self-doubt.
Yeah, for sure.
That's hit me multiple times throughout my career. But the more you train, the more confidence you get, the more you go through it, you know, it's not going to be easy, all of those things. And at least they were there to help carry you through your self-doubt time, you know?
Yeah.
I think it's important to find people like that. And also, take it a little step further, deeper.
Yeah.
Some people are only wanting other people to build them up, but they don't do it in return. And it's like, well, if you're not going to build your other people up, how are you going to be surrounded by, you know, it's a give and take.
Yeah.
And I just like, you know, in order to have good people, you need to be good to people.
Absolutely.
Feel that goes both ways, you know? So I try to make sure that I'm not just like taking, because it's a very selfish sport.
Oh, yeah.
Very. I need someone to teach me my stand-up. I need someone to teach me my wrestling. I need someone to teach me my grappling. All of you guys have spent all this time, and then I got to get in there, and it's just for me.
Yeah.
You got to cut weight. You have a whole team of people that are helping you get to this point. It is a very selfish sport. Very. You have your teammates that show up, that help spar, help mimic your opponent to get you ready for a fight, and then it's all just so you can get in there and do it. Like, it's a very selfish sport.
Are we the same person? This is literally IMU in stand-up form. I have a whole team of people. I have my road manager, podcast producer here who I can't do any of this without. I have my manager. I have my agent. I have my husband. I have my whole team. I have a social media guy who's like filming and doing everything. I have a nanny who's helping me with my daughter. I have all of these people who help to make this family reunion tour happen. Without them, I could not do one of these things. And then it's also that I can walk on this stage by myself,
right,
and tell some stories about my life and then come off stage and get ready to do it again in the next city. And then they all continue doing what they're doing to make sure that the next city happens. Yeah. It is wild.
Mm-hmm. Let me ask you this. So you're up there by yourself, but it's a product of like everybody you're around.
100%.
I do feel like this is the same, right? Like I have to perform, but I'm a product of what I've been taught, what I've been supported to do, what I've been loved to do.
Yeah.
But here's a cool part. And this is going to be like more tooting our horn a little bit. Okay. Yeah.
This is for us, you guys. Get out of here.
So when you do something and you have like you sell out like a huge venue and people love it and the vibe is just like high and positive and like a big thing. Like also though, now your whole group that help you get there feel that because of you performing what you all have been poured.
Yeah.
They poured into you and you perform, but then like on the return of that, they feel all that. Like that's huge thing.
Yeah.
So I feel like when I talk about fighting, and so let's just talk about performing. All right. When I talk about performing. So it's like what you do affects how people feel, and not just like directly. Like it's not just you, it's everyone. So people say, well, yeah, but whether you win or lose, we still love you. I'm like, I know you love me so much, you want me to win. So like when I win, you're going to feel that. And when I lose, you're going to feel that. So there's like so much on it.
Yeah.
Right. But that's what makes the wins. Like I always say this, it's the high you can't buy because there's no drug. Well, I don't do drugs, but I'm just saying there's no drug on this planet that you take, but can get everyone to feel a certain way.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that's why like the big is so big and the low is so low, but like, so that's why a law for me, this is not the same as you because it's like that's the only part that's probably different. But like a loss is like, yeah, like your coaches feel bummed too. You know, they're not disappointed in you, but everybody feels bummed too. But like that's what also makes the win like so awesome. And then there's people that are like, I don't know how you do it, get in front of all these people. And I'm like, but I also am glad I like feel this kind of passion. You know what I mean?
Totally. So. That's like, we just started this family reunion tour. We started in Denver, and it was our first three shows there. And then afterwards, my manager, he made a comment, something about like being so grateful that this is our life, that we get to be a part of bringing joy to people.
Amazing.
And to me, what really like resonated with me, like I know that for myself. Like every time I step on stage and I tell my stories and they laugh, I am an active part of sending out joy and bringing it back. But I was so grateful to hear him take ownership in that as well.
Mm-hmm.
Knowing that he is a part of this.
Yeah.
That there's no way that I could do this without him, that he is a part of bringing people joy. That made me feel really good. Danielle, what's your perspective on that? Because you've mentioned that too. Like, this is our mm-hmm. life. Like, we get to do that. Do you feel mm-hmm. an active part in, like, I'm a part of bringing people joy, even though you're not the one telling the joke?
Oh, absolutely. It's so funny because in my community group at church, we recently were talking about there was a guy that was feeling like, I feel like he's struggling with his purpose in life. And he was very much like, he worked for Google or a tech company. And he was just like, what are we doing? Like, what, I'm bringing AI into the world. This is bad. Like, it was just like this whole conflict thing. And I told him, I was like, I don't think it's that detailed. I don't think it's that like, you have to do this specific job. I was like, I view my purpose and what I've felt since I was a really young age, like since I was like 9 years old, all I've ever wanted to do is make people laugh and to make people feel good and know that when they walked away from interacting with me, they had a good time. And so even though I'm not the one on stage giving the jokes, I am also still helping to facilitate people having a good time, people having laughter and feeling welcome and warm. And you don't know what kind of week they were having or what sort of day or how long they've been waiting to see this show, or maybe their fight, maybe they've been looking like Friday night, I'm going to see Holly, like you're awesome, can't wait. And to then have like, to like see you on stage. Like I always say, like, as soon as you hit the stage, I've done my job. Like I got you to stage. I'm mm-hmm. done. I can go eat dinner now. And, mm-hmm. But I like to go out and I can see, I stood in the audience a little bit last night and just to see everybody just laughing and commenting and even turning to their husbands and be like, that's you. She's talking about you right now. Like, it's such a good, I look at that and I'm like, I helped make that happen. Like, yeah, you're telling the jokes, but like, I put the signs up and
well, these people are doing something because I was part of something that brought like, this to them.
I was a part. Yeah. Like yeah. I'm like, I got you here. So it's such a good, I mean, I just feel like that's what my calling is in life, and is to just bring joy and laughter to people because life is hard.
Yeah.
And they need those moments of joy. They need those wins. Those things like that.
I love that. You have your team in your corner. Mm-hmm. I have my team in my corner. We're out here just being strong women, crushing it. Yeah. Okay. Listen, you're actual tough. I'm in my brain tough. We are one and the same, girl.
I feel like you're downplaying a little. I saw the little...
You got your kicks.
I mean, I'll fight if I have to. I don't want to, but if I have to, it's going down. At least in my brain, it's going down. Another thing we do on this podcast is we listen to somebody who's called in to tell us what they're grateful for.
Okay.
Or what their mattitude is. Danielle will pick and tell us what it is. Bonzo, sir. Can you get down, please? Sir. Thank you, sir. Bonzo is adorable. The best dog in the whole wide world.
Yes.
He loves every human possible. If he doesn't love the human, run from that person. Yeah, they're not good. So anyways, Danielle picks a voicemail message. Right. Are we doing a mattitude or a gratitude today?
Actually, this voicemail has both.
Oh, all right.
Yes. And no, I'm not doing that because they don't have headphones. So we're just going to play it from my computer. So
this is our first one on the road. We've set up a makeshift studio here. This is where I'm performing tonight. If you can see the seats behind me, it's going to be full of people. So this is our first like on the road episode. I'm so glad you're here for this.
I'm honored to be part of your first on the road
episode. Look at that. Look at us. Okay, Danielle.
And also this exact spot right here. I fought for a lot of world titles right here, just so you know.
Stop. Oh, my gosh. Uh-huh. You're giving me the world title energy. It's going to be an amazing show tonight. This is going to be so good. I can't wait.
Oh, I wish I had a belt to give you or something after you do your stand-up.
Oh, my God. Totally.
I bet the casino's got one.
Let's do it.
Okay. I'm playing it from my computer. We can cut me out talking right now. So hopefully this is loud enough.
Okay.
747-300-5380. Give us a call. Ooh,
yeah. You know, in case you want to contribute.
Hi, this is Erica from the Bay Area. Hey! First-time caller, long-time listener, and commenter on your Instagram. Hi, team. Okay, so my gratitude is that it has been a year and a half since my dad passed, and I still don't understand how to grieve the loss of him not being in my life. I'm an only child, and I can help my daughters, my three daughters, my mom with his ex-wife, and my godmom go through this process, but I don't know what it's supposed to look like for me, and that makes me so angry. My gratitude is kind of tied into that. I fully believe that my dad sent my dog Winnie, my black Frenchie, to me. So less than a year after my dad passed, and it was a week after his first heavenly birthday, I was minding my own business, driving my dad's car, dropping off some stuff off to an animal shelter, and boom, there was a cute little dog in the donation box at 8 o'clock in the morning. I work from home, and so she's my coworker with no spatial awareness.
Yep.
She is my hiking buddy. She is a patient while my kids play doctor, and she just loves it or pretends like she loves it. She is just everything to me. And I've fostered a lot of dogs as an adult, but this is my first dog as an adult, and it has just taught me so much. So those are my gratitudes and gratitudes. I am so excited to see you when you come to Napa in August. Again, it's Kismet. That is my dad's second heavenly birthday.
Wow.
So I can't wait to see you, and thank you so much for doing this. All right, bye.
Wow. That's special. What was her name? Do you remember?
Yes.
I have it. I hear the name, and then I listen to the story, and then the name is last thing I remember.
Erica,
my goodness. What a profound thought of, I don't know what this grieving is supposed to look like for me.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I can see it for my mom. I can see it for this person and that person. Oh, man. I feel like there's also a little bit of protective mechanism in there from actual grieving, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, if I don't know what it's like to lose a parent, so I can't even imagine what that pain feels like. But I imagine knowing that it's going to be so painful that I don't want to feel it. So maybe that's even like some way to try to protect yourself is, I don't know what the grieving's supposed to look like. I don't know how it's supposed to look for me. So I'm going to keep it here so that I don't have to feel it yet. I'm not saying that she's not feeling it, but I imagine, like, I wonder if there's some level of like trying to protect myself from hurting this bad. I can't even imagine what that is like, but what a profound thought. And I, from someone who's never experienced that loss before, I think God and your dad is going to guide you through it, whatever grief looks like for you. You're going to be guided through it, and you won't be alone. I think that's the only thing that I could say to that, you know.
I think you look, in our lives, we go through hard times, and we've always had our parents to talk to about it. Mm-hmm. But then when it is your parent, then there's this like void, like how am I supposed to? I also think it's very good to recognize that like, this is hard. I don't know.
Yeah. Rather than like, I'm tough, I'm going to make it through. Like, I think it's okay.
Mm-hmm. 100.
To like know it hurts.
Oh, yeah. Ugh.
I can't imagine either. Mm-mm. And nobody can until they've had to. I can't even imagine.
Yep.
I still have both my parents.
Our heart goes out to you, Erica. Absolutely. And I'm excited to see you in Napa. So we'll see you there. And congrats on your dog. First of all, when she said she got a Frenchie in the donation box, the fact that there's a Frenchie right. in a donation box, girl.
That was you meant won. To be your dog. Yeah.
Okay.
I know.
People go out of the way trying to find one.
They do. Yeah.
This one yes. just was presented to you. That's great.
I was like, that's the Lord right there.
Yeah, that is mm-hmm. that is
and
the Lord.
And the no personal space is exactly how a dog's supposed to be.
Uh-huh. Yes.
100%.
If my dog didn't want to cuddle with me, I'd be like offended, you know?
Yeah. I'd be like, this dog is broken. Can I get another one?
we're on the tour bus and we're taking the bus all across the country, and so we all have our own bunks. And Bonzo, my dog, he sleeps on the bunk with me. But I put his little dog bed right outside of the bunk just in case he wants to, like, go be in his little dog bed and have his own space. Let me tell you, when he chooses his own space.
You're sad.
I am offended.
Yeah.
I am. And then I even, like, I open my little bunk curtain and I'll make room for him so he sees that there's room. And I'll be like, come
Are you
going to
come?
And he won't come. And I'm like, oh, and I close my curtain. I'm like, how dare you? Yeah. How dare you want personal space from me, sir?
Yeah.
Anyway, enjoy that
no
personal space dog that you have.
Yes.
Holly, thank you so much.
Thank you. This is so fun.
I've loved this conversation. I've loved getting to know you more. Yeah,
me too. And this is just, I get to come and watch you tonight.
Yes. Oh, yeah. Oh, you're going to learn a lot about me.
I'm getting all of it. I'm the one coming out on top for sure.
Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you so much for coming and sitting down with me for the Fungula podcast, sharing your attitudes, your gratitudes, sharing your homegirl. I have so many follow-up questions for your homegirl after this. Like,
no, she's just, wild.
I appreciate you. I'm so grateful for you taking the time.
Grateful for you. Thank you.
I wish you all the best in your next fights, in your next performances, and anything that you do moving forward. Destiny.
Thank you.
Destiny, baby.
Yes, I'll keep chasing it.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces. I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Spring is sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards.
Save big money at Menards.
Spring is sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards.
Save big.